So I got a message today. It's called, and the title is "There's Gold in You." Robin and I started watching it. We like to binge watch TV shows, and I don't know. Maybe I should say I don't care. Well, if I say it, I say whatever. You could judge me. Whatever, that's okay. Yeah, I told you a couple weeks ago we're becoming Trekkies, and that's kind of getting a little boring already. So we're like moving on to other stuff, But there's a new show on it. It's called Billy the Kid. Oh, man, that's right up my alley, man. That's like, oh, yeah, good old modern-day Westerns. Like, oh, such cool stuff. Anyway, I'm digging it big time. It's not a kid's show, I think. It's in an era where they chase gold. You know, we as a nation, the nation's forming here in America, and going after the gold. I think in his area where he was around, it was more silver. They were going for the silver and stuff. So it's I'm asking the God to reveal to us something inside of us. Is the gold that's inside of us, and how do we get it out? How do we get it out? How do we mine it? How do we get down in there and dredge the gold out of us? I believe God is about that. That's his business. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work, mining, dredging the gold inside of you to bring it out. So it almost flows like a volcano, like a lava, just like that. If you can envision gold being melted down and just being poured out of you. That's, I believe, what God wants to do, that process of that happening inside of each of us. There's gold in you. Hello? Not a whole lot of excitement, but there is gold in you. You're like, really? Where? How much is it worth? How can I cash it in? Let's talk about it. Yeah, let's talk about it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, I texted this verse. And it's a passage of scripture that Jesus, it's in the passage of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's coming to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus makes this statement, and then he goes on this long discourse of basically all the things I'm teaching. He kind of ends it with this place, and there's a middle spot. There's all these places. He talks about this thing that we're being held accountable to. And it's what we're being held accountable to is his words. The things we know, the truth that we know is what we'll be held accountable for. And it's this constant thing that he's giving us, almost so much so that he says, you know, there's going to be a judgment day. It doesn't almost, he actually says that. And you will be held accountable for what you did or didn't do with what you know. You know, even he gives that's where he gives the illustration of the sheep and the goats. You know, he said, you know, and he separates the sheep from the goats. On the goats is you know, you saw me and you did nothing. You saw me hungry and you didn't feed me. You saw me in prison, you didn't visit me. You saw me and you did nothing. And then the sheep, he said, you saw me and you did something. You did something. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison, you came and visited me. So you get to go off into eternal righteousness and eternal peace. The goats, not so much. You get to go off into eternal damnation because you did nothing. So there's this accountability for what we got, what God gives us. Hello? That's right off the bat rough. I'm sorry, but we got to get there. So in this, he talks about this. This is the beginning nice phrase that he says, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. I had to run to Walmart because I forgot my spectacles and get a three-pack. Like, that's going to help. It'll last me a week. Like, there's glasses everywhere until I show up or pull up, and then there's not a pair anywhere. Don't get old. It's no fun. He says this, in everything you do, be careful to treat others in the same way you'd want them to treat you. For that is the essence of all the teachings of the law and the prophets. I get excited about the Word of God. I don't know if you notice that or not. Whenever I read the Bible, it's something inside of me. I start to hop and skip and jump, and my hands go like this. You guys notice that. My family laughs at me and makes fun of me. That's okay, because it just excites me. The word of God is life, and these words are life in everything you do. Be careful. So that wording, be careful, is something we need to pay attention to treat others in the same way you'd want them to treat you. For that is the essence, the completeness of all the teachings of the law and the prophets. The word essence is this, I looked it up in the dictionary, it's this, it's the inward nature, the true substance or constitution of, as opposed to something that is just accidental, fallen into, or even phenomenal or illusory, to where it's like it's a fake, it's something that like we're just trying to present a picture that isn't actually as is. But the essence is that which is something that's inside of us that oozes out. The intent is what? Oh, I just started with it. What's inside of you? Gold. There you go. Some gold. Yeah. I don't know why I did that. That was weird. That was weird. This is also known as what? What is this known as? Come on. You guys got to follow with me. Track with me. This is known, this teaching is known as the golden rule. Oh, I'm onto something here, aren't I? Yeah, the golden rule, which is, we might have heard it as this: do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. I don't know why the unto is, it's like we got to say it that way, right? Who says unto anymore? We do when we refer to the golden rule, right? Come on. You guys with me? Do I need to go back out and start over again? Come on, let's get into this. Let's have fun with it. So this is more than just a simple phrase that we should consider being like on a Sunday morning, or when I'm feeling like having a good day. You know, I woke up on the good side of the bed today, so I'm going to practice the golden rule today. I'm going to go out and look for somebody to do something good to that I would like them to do to me. Hello? That's all nice, but the reality is what? The reality is this. If it's to become our essence, you know, go with me for a second. An essence is another word for like an aroma, right? Like when you're, like if you were to fire up and burn some, what are they called? Incense, but who burns incense now? Essential oil stuff. Yeah, it's what's taken place here is, and this is, I'm discovering this. I want to share this at the end, and I really want to encourage you, is to find out what's inside of you. There has to be some burning taking place. There has to be some fire, some conflict. Hello? Jesus said it in another way. It's like, you know, if you just love those who love you, you're basically just like everybody else, the rest of the world even. In fact, he even says that's what the heathen, whoa, who says that anymore? The heathen, they do that. I mean, the evildoers love those who love them. It's like, I'm calling you to have an essence inside of you that's gold, that in spite of, in the midst of, no matter what's going on, to respond and go and treat somebody as you would like them to treat you. Now, here's the careful part. Remember that word? Jesus said it. You must be careful. He used that word. Because we must be careful to get that right. In fact, I would say, you could say, because Jesus said it, it's the essence of all of God's word. Who's got a real Bible in the room? Here's one. If all of this, it's the essence of all of it. The iPad wouldn't give a good effect, So know that what he's teaching here is like it's summing up everything. It's the core teaching of the love of God that he gives us and expects us to give to others. That's how Jesus states it. And we must be careful to get it right. Because here's the bottom line. Well, it's not a bottom line, but here's an issue. It's way too easy to invert that whole statement and make it all about yourself. Hello? It's way too easy. If we're not careful, we will expect, we put an expectation on others to love me as I would like them to. You understand? You see how that can happen? It's a real, real, if I could say it, I'm going to say it because I wrote it down, so I'll read it this way. This is a trap that the enemy puts in your mind, and the bait is hurt feelings or offense. The trap is others should treat me as I treat them, or at least as I think that I treat them. But the scripture says, and the truth of what Jesus says, in everything you do, be careful, in everything. So that's more than Sunday morning, right? Yeah, that's Monday morning at work, at school. Sorry it had to bring Monday morning at work up, but it's where it goes, because that's including in the everything part. It's Thursday afternoon when you just want to run somebody off the road because, never mind, don't go there. Confession time. Nope. Mm-hmm. This trap that the enemy puts in our mind is to put an expectation on others to love me as I would think I love them. And it's a brutal trap. It's one that again, the bait is hurt feelings or offense, and that trap gets us in and it snares us. And it ensnares us. So much so that bitter roots kind of go down from that trap. When you've been caught in that trap have an expectation on others to love you. I get it a lot, actually, more often than I'd even like to admit, because I kind of try to block it out of my mind, where if you were a real pastor, you would be doing this. If you were a good one, you'd be doing this for me. That you'd be surprised at how many times I hear that. I really do block it out of my memory bank, because it's like nope, that's, I'm not going to buy it. It's not, that's accusation. Accusation comes from where? The devil. He's an accuser of the brethren. So as soon as I hear like somebody accusing me of not being how I should be towards them, I'm like, oh Lord, they're falling into the trap, and it's like got them, and it's ensnared them. So I just pray for them. And walk away quickly. Yes, sometimes I run. Yeah. After Jesus made this statement, he goes on to say something, and this is where I'm going to get into some really deep stuff of the message today. He says something. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." I don't know if you've ever read that in the Bible, but that's actually the words of Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate that leads to destruction is easy and wide, and the way is easy. But the narrow way is hard and leads to life. So we talked about this even last week, about what real life looks like, and what that a life in Christ looks like. So I'm gonna zero in on the same subject and kind of build on it. The narrow gate and difficult way which leads to life is simply a life of repentance. We brought this up last week, and I think I'm gonna hit it a little bit more this week because I think it's worth it, and I want to show you some stuff in Scripture that's gonna, I feel like it's gonna help you understand it a little more. And even receive it a little better, even more so in your spirit. So that difficult way, that simple, it's a simple thing, but it's narrow and it's difficult, is a life of repentance. And I know I've read so many different things and different little excerpts on and definitions of what repentance is. one of the things is really great, it's fantastic, it just simply is this, is, you know, when he talks about repentance, and this is just from the Bible, I don't know what verse it is, so forgive me for not having the reference, but he says, "Turn away from your sin and turn toward God." That is the best definition and explanation of repentance that I can have ever, because it's straight out of the Bible. Is that anywhere? Okay. If you find it, slap it up there. Yell it out. That's okay. But that's actually how the Bible defines repentance, is to turn away from your sin and turn towards God. So there's away from something and towards something. And that's so much, that's so important for us to understand and receive, because this is what a life, a narrow way looks like. It's a life of repentance. And this requires us to be something different than I think what the world would like to portray Christians to be, or what maybe we think Christians ought to be. Because when we really start looking at the words of Jesus, they're very difficult to sometimes even understand, but to receive and process and say, that's good, but how can I do that? That's really good. I like that, but that seems impossible. I mean, it really does. And even this seems like it's impossible, because it actually is. In your own strength or in your own doing. And the disciples asked Jesus this. At one point, they're like, he's telling, you know, to enter into the kingdom, it's like the camel going through the eye of a needle. And it's not easy. And they look at him and it's like, that seems impossible. And he's like, yeah, you're right. All things are impossible on your own, but all things are possible in me. So that's where he's getting us to basically submit to. And that's what repentance looks like, a turning to God and away from ourselves and away from our stuff. Last week I hit it, is repentance is getting the stuff out of the way that's blocking us, that's hindering us from a walk with God by faith. Hello? It's the scripture gives us the nuts and bolts of repentance, and it's chapter 3. And it's a verse and it's a passage that the Holy Spirit had spoken to Robin as she was doing her study, her daily studies, and she shared it with me like throughout the week, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And so we jogged this down together. So I'm gonna share it. It's in Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 3. It says this. It says, this is in regards to John the Baptist, who comes on the scene to bring about and bring about repentance. But he's also bringing about, and he's a herald, or he's proclaiming the coming of Jesus, right? That is who John the Baptist is, and he's baptizing people in repentance, a baptism in repentance. And he says, I baptize you in repentance, but the one that comes after me, he's greater than me. He's going to baptize you with spirit, by the Spirit and fire. Like, oh. That's a whole nother lesson, because that's a really good one, and I like that. I don't know why I like stuff like that. There's something wrong with me. Yeah. You guys aren't arguing with me, but that's okay. That's all right. Luke chapter 3 says this. It says, this is in regards to John the Baptist. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is rich in itself. I'm going to interrupt myself throughout this whole passage. So this is the first spot. This is something John's proclaiming, that a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, this is brand spanking new to the people of God. Brand new. That was not a thing. Do you know how their sins were forgiven up until this point? Sacrifice, animal sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. You had to go sacrifice an animal so that you could be forgiven for the sins, whether it's for the sins of the week, sins of the year. An animal was required, a sacrifice was required to be made when you sinned. I mean, that's a lot of work, doesn't it sound like? Hello? I mean, dang it, man, we'd have to have a farm out there with a bunch of animals, raising animals, because we'd be bunches of really good sinners. Okay, I'm a really good sinner. I'm all by myself. You guys, thanks for leaving me hanging, guys. Okay, thanks, Mark. Don't leave me hanging. Oh, yeah. So this thing that John is offering, he's like, it's almost like smack in the face of their religious duties and their religious acts and actions. I'll baptize you in repentance, and you can be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. What is going on with this? This is gnarly new stuff. And it's offending the religious people like nothing else. They don't want to have nothing to do with that, because that means they'd have to give up all of that, all of their beliefs about, well, what are you talking about? For years, hundreds and hundreds of years, we've done it this way. And this is how you get right with God. Not that way. That's too simple. That's dealing with my heart. No, I'd rather deal with my religious duties. That's easier. That's much more pleasant and pretty. But getting into my heart, now you're talking about getting into something that I gotta look hard at. I gotta look at. And the religious people are like, no. And the common folk, if you will, those that were God seekers, they were like, yes, this is it. This is what we've been looking for, longing for all along. All along, that God actually is merciful. God is love. God is kind. And he is looking for people that just are giving into him. Not performing some religious duties to get right. It's so cool. So this whole issue that John brings to the scene is very offensive to the religious people. But very, if I could say it, very accepting to those who were seeking the Lord. In fact, I remember reading Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said that those who received the baptism of John were the ones who were willing and open to receiving Jesus as the Christ. But those who rejected the baptism of John were those who rejected Christ, Jesus as the Christ. Do you see what's happening here? No, I know that seems like, but I want us to see something, and I'm going to get really personal. Because yes, this is like, if you look at it, it's like the big picture of it is yes, Jesus comes on the scene, and John is he's the messenger to bring him on the scene. But here's where it gets real. I want us to get really real for a second. It's the same inside your very own personal heart. Hello? That's how it's presented in Scripture, is repentance brings about salvation. And for you to come to the place of surrender to Jesus completely, if you leave repentance off to a side as something that like, oh, we do only on the side and we talk about it every once in a while, let's talk about the Holy Spirit's flow and the moving and the dancing and the fun stuff. I like fun stuff. I really do. But we got to get to the real stuff for this fun stuff to actually be fun and to be real and to be right. Okay, let's go. Let's get through it. I promise. Okay. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is John. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Let's just take this for a second. Because this is really good. The wilderness is that place. It's that place of wandering. It's that place of God is right there. And I know I think a lot of us, if we're really honest, will identify to this. God is right there, but I just can't seem to get a grip on like an intimate, right relationship with him. I know he's there, and I would believe it. I believe in God. I believe that he is real, and I believe in Jesus. But I just can't seem to get this, like, connection to him. And that's the wilderness he's referring to. That wilderness is that place of wandering, seeking, wondering, am I good? Am I good enough? Am I right? Am I saved? Am I lost? Am I confused? Am I in the light? Am I in the dark? Am I in the truth? Or am I buying a lie? And see, that wilderness is a wandering place. And that's what he's saying. He said, those wandering in the wilderness, here's your answer. Here's the answer. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. See, repentance, and this is what it's going to bring into our hearts, is it's about when it's making his paths straight. It's about choosing right living, righteousness. It's about surrendering to my sinful, selfish ways and saying no to that, and I'm going to choose to live rightly. And we all know what that is. I don't have to go through a list. Because if I miss it, you'll be like, oh, good, I didn't make the list. No, you know the list in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own soul of the stuff that you are involved in, doing, participating in that isn't good. Let God, the Holy Spirit, convict you, and you choose to repent and say, no, I'm going to choose right. I'm going to choose right. Then he says this, and every valley shall be filled. This is really good. This is so good because it's referring to, you say, how do we repent of being empty? I'll tell you how is, and I'm going to give you, is we fill the emptiness with what is intended to be filled with. Hello? Okay, come on. Let's just break this down and make it really simple. You do not put antifreeze into your oil container, into your engine oil, right? Okay, that would be bad. But your oil is empty, but I got to put something in there. Hello? It would burn your motor up, blow it up. Hello? Okay? You know, when there's an emptiness, we can fill it, and his intention is to fill you. Don't fill it with something that doesn't belong there. Amen? Yeah. Repent of trying to fill the stuff of in you that you see is empty, and it... I'm going to stay away from lists. Man, if I can do this all service, I'm going to give myself a big pat on the back. I'll give a little illustration. It's really super funny. my sister, when she was younger, just started driving. I'm not even going to tell you her name because she's what? Yeah. The dummy light came on for needing water in her car, in the car that she was driving. Well, she didn't realize that that was water inside the motor of the car. She thought it was windshield wiper fluid is what it needed. So she went and put water in the windshield wiper fluid and kept driving the car until, lo and behold, what did the car do? It overheated and broke down on the side of the road. In fact, it was out there at Crosby Herald. We were living out at Glen Olinda's at the time on Crosby Herald Road. If anybody knows the country roads of Lincoln, you know that those country roads, they don't really have shoulders to drive on, right? You know, you just basically, it's a road and that's it. So that's it. Well, she calls one of our friends and says, hey, my car's broke down. Can you help me get it up to the house? He says, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go over there. We'll tow it up to the house. They decide to tow the car up to the house. But lo and behold, neither of them ever towed a car before. So they attach a rope to the bumper and a rope to his rear bumper, and they both get in the car and start towing the car behind them. Why does the car keep going off into the ditch? I don't know. I think it's supposed to just follow behind us. I'm like, oh, man, forgive me for not teaching you life. Anyway, it's all about putting the right thing in the right container. Put God where he goes inside of you. Repent of trying to fill your life with stuff that doesn't belong. Amen? And that is what he's saying, is what does it do? Where am I at? Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. It basically, when we repent, there's no room for pride in your life. Oh man, this is good, and I could spend a whole entire message on this, but I won't, because it's really important for us to understand that pride is always, always, according to Scripture, going to bring about what? A fall. a fall, and a fall is always going to take place whenever we walk in any sort of pride. So the only response to all things in life is humility. Straight up. And if you put on a cloak of humility for anything and all things you do, I guarantee you God will grow inside of you so rich and so deep, and you'll find yourself understanding truths that you would have never even seen before. You'll find yourself getting along with everybody, getting along with people, and conflicts will start to, I mean, they're going to be there because nobody likes really somebody that's decent. I mean, well, I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people out there don't like you. Sorry. And it's not because you have a rotten personality. Man, I better back that one up somehow, some way. I don't know how I can get it. I'm stuck. So basically, humble yourself. How about that? Let's just go there and stop there. Humble yourself. That one didn't turn out as well as I thought it was going to. But okay, and then this one. And the crooked shall become straight. The crooked shall become straight. Here's what this is, a rich truth to understand. How is this a part of repentance? It's submitting to truth. Truth shall be heard and understood. And when we buy into the truth of God's word as the truth, I know it's been said, it's like, you know, there's no such thing as my opinion about the truth. That's not a thing. It's your opinion, and then it's the truth. Your opinion is just that, and then there's truth. So when we submit to and repent of the things that, you know, you guys hear me say this, and you guys know this about me, is if you say my thing and it's not God's thing, then I don't want anything to do with it. Because your thing and my thing, if it doesn't line up with God's thing, then it's the wrong thing. Almost every time. You say, well, what about being smart and wise and understanding? And, you know, it's like, yeah, in Christ we are. In Christ we are. In truth we are. But anything that when we develop an opinion about a matter, about a situation, a thing, and it doesn't line up with the truth, then we are actually taking a crooked road, a path. That's what he refers to as the crooked, because it becomes crooked. Hello? Oh, man. Again, no list. No list. Promise. No list. So, but this is a part of the spirit of repentance that's taken place. And I think this is one of the best ones. The rough places shall become level ways. I just want to get really, I want to soften up a little bit here, if I could do that. It's the brokenness in our lives. It's the broken places in our lives that we must, so I want you to ask this question. How do we repent from brokenness? I got some thoughts, and I'm going to give them to you because I believe they're scriptural, and they're rich, and they're true, and they're good. Your brokenness can become your identity if you hold on to it to where this is mine. It's my brokenness. It's my pain. It's my anguish. It's my life. And it becomes, if I don't repent from my brokenness and my pain becomes a validation for bitterness and hurt. And it becomes, I validate my suffering. And that's a place where we leave Christ out of the whole picture, because he brings healing. And if we don't repent from our brokenness, we don't allow him to bring the healing. Amen? Now that was, I think, the best one yet. Because I think that's where a lot of us plant ourselves. Yeah, everyone deals with pride. Everyone deals with crooked thinking. Everyone deals with an emptiness that we're trying to fill. But I know in the room, everyone deals with brokenness. And it's something that we got to just release and let God heal us. And the only way to do it is to bring about it and to live a spirit of repentance and say, God, I give you even my brokenness. And that's hard. That's not easy. And you guys know, so many of you know my story from way back, and you know the brokenness in my life. And if I were to hold on to all that brokenness as though that's my badge, God would never be able to heal me. Do you understand that? Do you see that? So let's let it go and repent of it. Let Jesus come in. Let Jesus come in and save our souls. In fact, I love this. In fact, he says it. That's how he gets into it. I'm finishing up here real quick. In a minute. It says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Do you see what he's saying here? This is what brings about God's salvation, is this, you can almost call it a process. And the process can happen in an instant, like it did in me. In an instant, where you could see everything wrong with you, and then Jesus comes in and says, here's my answer. Like that. Now, some of us it might take a while, a week, a month, a year, years. But don't give up. Let's keep on going that direction. Let's keep on moving toward truth, towards healing, towards straight ways. And if you don't see Jesus yet, keep going that direction, because Jesus will show himself up in your life. Amen? Amen? Come on, brothers and sisters. We gotta testify to the reality, the truth that Jesus is real and he has a capability and the willingness to save each and every one of us. Amen? He says it like this. Peter says it like this. And this is in 2 Peter 3:9, and I'm going to skip to like the B part of it. And I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. So just the wording of it might be a little bit different than up there. It is. So I'm going to start with here. The Lord is not slow. Okay. Yeah, the Lord is not late with his promise to return, as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience towards you, because he does not want any to perish, but all come to repentance. Amen? And that repentance brings salvation. So you say yes to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus, you say yes to repent. If you say yes to repent, you say yes to salvation. You say yes to love. To love as Jesus loved. To love your neighbor as yourself. To do unto others as you would like them to do to you. That's where it's at. That's where the gold is at. Amen? Amen? Worship team, I'm going to read this last verse, and it's really good. Again, the vision, I wrote it in handwriting because it was like it hit me as I was just like basically at the end. Let it flow like lava. Let the gold flow out of you like a lava, like a volcano erupting. And Romans 3:8 says this, Paul worded it this way. I love this verse. It says, owe nothing to no one. Owe nothing to anyone. Do not be indebted to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. It's the essence. It's the gold. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. Oh, your spirit that flows in us and through us. Thank you for your word that is alive and speaks to us, transforms us, changes us, and empowers us to live as you have called us to live. Yes, the expectation that you put on us to love one another, to do unto others as we'd like them to do to us, can only be done by your grace, by your mercy, by your spirit in us. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in us and through us and, oh, make us like you. And I even give you permission, and I'm asking each and every one of us to align ourselves with this prayer. I give you permission to call me on the stuff in my life that I just simply need to repent of. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.